Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Friday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke, and you can join us. Always dial in. It don't cost nothing. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can find and follow us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Danny Burke 5. How about Husker Volleyball? We'll get into it, and I'm guilty. I stayed up for it all. I'm an old man that's dragging you know what, but it was totally worth it. And then I flipped over and was victorious with my L.A. Chargers prediction winning in Arrowhead, because they always do that, right? So I wondered how the hell that happened. Caught the highlights and watched Nebraska do something that they made look easy, and it wasn't. So we'll get into some Nebraska volleyball. Smarter people than me will inform us of volleyball. In 1 hour, we'll check in with the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, NBC Sports. He was there during the Pettit years when the program became real, and Bill's done so much volleyball coverage in his career. We'll get his take on last night. Jacob Padilla from HailVarsity.com and Magazine, along with Derek Peterson. Jacob's going to join us from Minneapolis. I hope he's having a Juicy Lucy. Have you had a Juicy Lucy?
No, what's a Juicy Lucy?
A Juicy Lucy before you get too graphic with your imagination.
Too late.
Too late. And I saw this on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, right? It's just a thick burger. But they take a cookie cutter and they hollow out the middle and they put your favorite cheese. Right?
Okay.
And then whether it's pepper jack or cheddar or mozzarella or whatever, and then they put the beef back on top and they fry it, and it's all a greasy spoon and delicious, and you can have your favorite can of cold dad's beer. Right?
So the cheese just kind of oozes out of the burger.
When you take a bite, it explodes.
A lot of cheese.
So I'm going to make sure Jacob and Derek get a Juicy Lucy.
Is that like a Minnesota thing specifically?
Yeah, they're famous for it.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly. I mean, I've never had one up there. We were up in Minnesota for baseball a couple years ago, but yes, I went off track there. So Jacob Padilla coming up at 525, Bill Dolman at 505, and recruiting insider with Hail Varsity, Greg Smith. Greg's been busy. Greg has Ty Robinson news. Greg has news on Lloyd Summerall. Greg has got your hit list of who's in, who's thinking about being in. And signing day 2019 will be a extravaganza. Can email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Did you ever want to give your email out?
I think I'm just more comfortable with Twitter. I think that works better.
Twitter's okay with you. At Danny Burke 5.
There you go.
We will have an abbreviated Friday forecast with some NFL at 5:40. It will predict the Nebraska-Oklahoma State. Also comments from Tim Miles. So as a Nebraska football fan, some of you have lived or witnessed Sooner magic. Okay? I was alive for some of it, and I understood it as I got older, as stories of terror were passed down at bedtime by my father to me. And it was always Nebraska had the game won, and then Oklahoma'd make a play. And Dean Blevins, our friend down in Oklahoma City with News 9 and the Sports Animal, he authored Sooner Magic. 1976, Oklahoma's down, we'll say by 100, because that's how the legend has grown. And by the way, Blevins, phenomenal athlete, two-sport star in high school, good enough to play at Oklahoma. Well, Nebraska knocks out the starting quarterback of Oklahoma, and there's like a minute or two left, and Blevins comes in to throw the football. Well, they do the hook and ladder, And this was the first hook and ladder before Miami stunned New England with it last Sunday, and Grandpa and Grandma from Boston lost their mind on Twitter. So Blevins comes in cold, throws a pass. Carr, I think, was the guy, or Tinker, or some damn name, caught it and flipped it to Elvis Bleeping Peacock, as he's known in Nebraska. And he takes it onto the end zone. And then Keith Jackson, and I'm not trying to bring up bad things on...
That was a bedtime story, your dad...
Well, if I didn't do what I was told to do, brush my teeth, take my medicine, get to bed, he'd tell about the time he was hurting, scare tactics, whatever. So I'm flipping it around. For all the bad you have felt about the ones that got away, as a Nebraska football fan, you had a team last night in Nebraska volleyball, in John Cook, in Fecky, in Lexi, in all of these outstanding athletes refuse to die, refuse to go away. Illinois is an insane team. I'm a volleyball novice, raising both hands, being honest. But I watch it, and I go, I can't do that. You can't do that. How do they do that? And what's amazing about it is the guts, the resolve, whatever you want, the chutzpah, whatever you want to call it, for Nebraska to have enough belief down 0-2 to a team they've split with in Illinois that's loaded, that's got Nebraska blood running through it because it's a Nebraska assistant running the show now. He got trained by Yoda, right? John Cook.
I was saying John Cook's like the Nick Saban or Bill Belichick of volleyball.
He is. In the ongoing conversation, and you saw it on the Hail Varsity message boards, where's Cook rank with the Mount Rushmore of Nebraska coaches? We'll ask Bill Dolman that. I want to know, just from a broad sports standpoint, with Nebraska's comeback last night in volleyball, is that the greatest comeback you've ever seen? And does it, like, now get on your radar or register as the best sports comeback across all sports, right? I've got a short list here. And I remember watching the Oilers and Bills in the early 90s, and Houston's up on the road 35-3, and they lose. That's the largest NFL comeback. 35-3 deficit, Buffalo wins, I think, in regulation, 38-35. Okay. Nebraska, Ohio State, the largest comeback for Nebraska football. Levante David, you know the story. Many of you were there. That first home game against Ohio State in Big Ten play, when Nebraska and T-Magic and company and Rex Burkhead put his Superman cape on, and Nebraska came back and won that. This isn't like any great comeback when you look at score and difference, but I remember vividly, and you'll love this as a Chicago guy, Game 6 against Portland in 92. You won't remember it, but you've read about it, you know about it, because you're a Bulls fan. Where Chicago's getting rolled by Portland. It's kind of a big-time momentum game. Does Chicago want to go play a seventh game against Portland? And what happens is the Bulls are down 16 or 18 points. MJ has the worst playoff game of his career. He's like 3 of 16, still scores 20, mind you. And what happens is Chicago comes back to claim the championship, down 16 to start the fourth quarter. You can flip it around for Nebraska football, what Northwestern did this season, where they're down 14 and then they're down 10 with a few minutes left. I mean, that was kind of a miraculous comeback. Those are all a bit distant as I speak right now in the moment because of the magnitude. Yeah, Buffalo and Houston was a playoff game, and every game's important. And yes, the NBA Finals game I referenced was important, but it wasn't a Game 7. This was to go to the national championship. This was with four freshmen that have been incredible and hit peaks and valleys this season. You can make a strong argument that was one of the greatest sports comebacks in the history of pick a sport last night by Nebraska volleyball. It's not hyperbole. It's real. What they did, you're getting mauled. You're down. You're making some errors. You're playing a great team. Your communication's been off. Your passing was never super crisp because of your opponent. And they willed away to win. Tim Miles, we'll hear from him coming up. Some incredible thoughts on Nebraska volleyball and really a cool comment on the fraternity that exists with Nebraska coaches within the athletic department. Listen, John Cook makes a lot of money. John Cook needs to be the first $1 million volleyball coach, period. He needs to be the first $1 million volleyball coach. He's that good. Look at the players. Look how they raise their game. Look how they handle adversity. Look how they handle pressure. Okay, great. You come back. You win a set. You're down 2-1. You put away Illinois to make it 2-2. And then Illinois is kind of like going, what's up? That fifth set's up for grabs now. And then to have the confidence to challenge like he did, and you could kind of see momentum shift with that challenge where it went from being 12-12 in the fifth set to then now 13-11, Nebraska just needs 2 points. And the way Nebraska celebrated after that long, long road back. I mean, to take three matches like they did against that number three team in the country, a team that knows you as well as you know yourself, just because the staff at Illinois and the head coach, Coach Thomas, recruited and trained a lot of these kids. So super impressive. Here's John Cook last night, and his. I was very interested every camera shot I got in his body language, and you could tell there was some frustration. You could tell it was high pressure, but he did a really good job of remaining even keel. Would you put Nebraska volleyball's win in the conversation among the greatest sports comebacks in sports history? Consider the opponent, consider the stage, consider the deficit. Knowing what you got to do in volleyball, can tweet at us at ESPN Lincoln, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio, at Danny Burke, can email Chris@HailVarsity.com. John Cook and his heart rate, it was racing.
It was very exciting. You know, I'm assuming for the fans it was very exciting. It was very exciting to be on the sideline coaching and watching in this great match. I mean, you know, this is a 15-round heavyweight fight. And so it's just great drama, great competition, great sports.
Yes, it was a 15-round heavyweight fight, my man. And he said, oh, it was exciting. It was great. Imagine yourself being the coach there. I know his shirts are from Uncle Nate, so he has those specialty shirts. I would have pitted out about 7 of those bad boys, man. Danny, your wheels are turning. Does the fact that volleyball is not as mainstream make a difference?
I think it definitely does. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a casual follower like me, and, you know, like you said, you're a novice too, and I think most people, let's be honest, are, besides the diehard Nebraska
sure.
fans.
And I'd say that there's a greater population of diehard volleyball fans in this state.
100%.
And let's be straight, volleyball's been carrying Nebraska's ass for a long mm-hmm. time when it comes to the sport that's been setting the example, setting the bar, winning championships and doing it with the toughest schedule in the toughest conference. Basketball's had a couple of good years. Football, you're waiting for it to pop, and you think Frosty's going to bring that home, and you feel good about that. Baseball, the Van Horn era, and Nebraska's won a conference championship with Erstad, and people are waiting for baseball to kind of take back off. But volleyball, I mean, it's rabid. It's inspired a whole demographic and generation of volleyball fans, club sport. I mean, because Cook's that good. People want to go send their daughters to play for Coach Cook. The way he recruits and profiles and the way he develops, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. This is what you can take from last night as well. Can you perform in the moment? Can you perform when it's tight? It's the free throw to tie or take the lead. It's the 3rd-and-8 pass. It's the one-on-one tackle when you're trying to stop a dude from getting the sticks. It's goalie versus the dude breaking away when you're playing hockey. I mean, think of all your cliched, this is your moment. Well, Nebraska volleyball, you have those, you have game, you have match points, for God's sake. You got to survive. And Coach Cook spent some time talking about his team, their performance, and how they handle tight games.
You know, when you get to this point, you got to win close games and big points at the end of games. And that's what this team's been doing a great job of the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an accident. You got to have that first, but it's not always guaranteed to have it. Just because you do it once doesn't mean you're going to repeat it. And they have repeated it because they are extremely successful with what they do. We'll switch gears, talk some recruiting. We'll get into some Nebraska basketball, volleyball thoughts aplenty. Was last night one of the greatest comebacks you've seen in sports? Not volleyball, not Nebraska history, but just sports in general. I think you need to kind of put it in that category because it was magnificent. Great to be with you on Friday. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Danny Burke 5, the Pride of Chicago, at Schmidt underscore radio. We say hi to Greg Smith, recruiting analyst. And you find him on Twitter, at Greg Smith HV. You read him with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, are you fired up? You got your sleeves rolled up? You ready for Wednesday?
I am. I started to formulate my plan, and I think I'm ready to go.
Your plan, you are going to be on site, different locations. I know Hail Varsity is going to be in a lot of different spots throughout. I can't wait for it. Greg, how has the week been? We start with Wandale Robinson and his house party, and we end with Ty Robinson and his house party. What did it say to you, covering recruiting like you have, that Nebraska brought out everybody and anybody?
Yeah, it says something big because Nebraska did this, I believe, just 3 times this cycle because they also are doing it today for the most part for Noah Pola Gates, the four-star safety out of Arizona as well. It tells all of those guys that they're extremely high priorities for Nebraska, right? Wandale Robinson, it was kind of a show of we're very happy that you flipped back to us and decided to join the class. Ty Robinson and Pola Gates are in a similar situation of trying to put those finishing touches on to say that, you know, Nebraska is the place for you. We really want you to be a part of the fold and help us build what we're building, which is something special here in Lincoln. But it's a really big deal because they do not do this often. You can, like I said, count them on one hand just for those 3 guys they did these kind of swarm visits for. And I think it makes a really big impact on the prospect, their parents, and their high school coaches as well.
Greg Smith's with us, recruiting insider, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, it's premium content, which means you can sign up for it and get it. But you've got your recruiting recon posted on the website. Some nuggets for folks here. Is there any drama looming with kids that may be committed or kids that are still trying to decide? What's out there right now with Nebraska fans need to know about?
You know, the really interesting thing is going throughout this week, we were really drama-free, right? Like, we really, like, surprisingly quiet. And for the most part, it still is, especially when it comes to Nebraska's current commitments. I don't think that there's any commitment that they currently have that Nebraska fans need to be worried about flipping at the last minute, which, man, how many times can you go through a year and say that right at the end of the cycle? Right. So that's extremely rare. The only real situation that I've see happening is Desmond Bland may be the only guy that's currently in the class that does not sign next week, and that's more of a technicality situation because he was supposed to initially graduate in December, be in Lincoln in January, and he's not going to do that now. He's going to graduate in May because that's all kind of in flux. Nebraska basically gave him a gentle nudge to say don't sign in December, because if he signs in December and then doesn't make it in May for whatever reason, it still counts. His scholarship still counts against Nebraska's numbers. But if that's the only drama that you really have with the current commits, I think you'll take that. The real intrigue comes, though, for Nebraska with the guys that they're still kind of chasing. At this point, I feel good about Ty Robinson, and I feel good about Noah Pola-Gates being in the class. But it's with guys like Jimmy Strichke, the offensive lineman out of South Carolina, who picked up a late offer yesterday from Clemson after taking an unofficial there. He is currently in Lincoln as we speak for his official visit. That's really where the most drama is right now, because Nebraska would love to have him be part of the class. Clemson obviously would love to have him wait and delay his signing next week to sign in February.
What's your read on Fritschke? I know he's a tight end. I know when the kid stands up, he blocks the sun, super tall, extremely athletic, tight end to tackle. That's the move. Is South Carolina's offer, and this has gone on forever in recruiting, you may not play here, but we don't want you going there, right? I mean, is that what this is? Or is he a guy that could do work for Clemson?
Like, it's a really strange situation, and when you think about it, like, from his point of view, and I assume that this is part of what the pitch will be from Nebraska, right? Nebraska will say to him, we've been recruiting you all along. We were your first Power 5 offer. We have put the resources into you to send Scott Frost out to your home. We've come to see you every week during the contact period, so we've made it known and clear that you are a priority in our class. Clemson came in at the last minute to get you on an unofficial there, then offered you. They said it was a committable offer, but oh, by the way, you can't commit right now. You need to wait until February, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, in case we don't get other guys. So if that's the case and that's the way that Nebraska lays it out, while he's on a visit that he was very much looking forward to, I could still see him ending up in Nebraska's class. I talked to him yesterday after he got the Clemson offer, and he did tell me that Nebraska was still his leader going into this weekend. So unless something has really changed, I got to take the kid at his word. And I think Nebraska's still in a good position with him, though it is hard to turn down Clemson, you know, given their recent success. And I think they're only like 30 minutes away from his home, so the proximity is a factor there as well. But they may be too little too late in the situation.
I mean, proximity's that's tough to beat. Their place in college football right now is very tough to beat. But I think Nebraska has been so good at that relationship development. I want to go back to Ty Robinson. And who does he remind you of? And two, what won out for Nebraska? I mean, they're showing him love. I get it. But from a connection standpoint, why has Nebraska been able to pull ahead in this race for Robinson?
Yeah, I think as far as the comparison, you know, the comparison I actually was thinking of earlier is a guy that we have not seen yet on the field for Nebraska. He actually reminds me a lot of Tate Wildeman from last year's class. A big base defensive end in that 3-4 that's going to stuff the run. I think he's a little bit more athletic than Tate was. I think he can get after the quarterback a little bit more. But it's not like Tate was a slouch of a recruit either. He was a 4-star recruit coming in. He was just injured this year. So I think that that's a kind of a good comp for a guy that just came in. And if Nebraska is able to win his signature, those relationships that Nebraska built with him, because they were steady with Ty from the beginning, and Ty has been a top priority. I would put Ty Robinson in the same category as Wandale Robinson, Nick Henrich, and Bryce Benhart, as a guy who was right at the top of the board for Nebraska this entire cycle. And I think that has an effect, because Nebraska obviously zeroes in on those top targets and seems to do really well with them. Plus, the fit is good in Mike Dawson and Eric Chenander's 3-4 defense along that defensive line. Plus, you add in the family connection. Both his parents go into Shadron State. His mom still has family that lives here in Nebraska. I think there's a lot going for Nebraska in this recruitment, if in fact they can hold off Oregon, Alabama, and USC.
Greg Smith is with us, recruiting insider, HailVarsity.com and magazine, at Greg Smith HV. Follow him on Twitter. Greg, four names that are going to come down to the wire that Nebraska fans need to know about, and give me your temperature reading right now.
Yeah, so we've talked about two of them, I think, with Ty Robinson. I like Nebraska's chances there. He's kind of hunkered down, had his last in-home visit yesterday with the Huskers, Scott Frost included, and then he should make a decision sometime this weekend, but he's not scheduled to announce that decision until Wednesday. Noah Pola-Gates, who Nebraska will go in-home with today, he is going to, I think, sign his letter of intent on Wednesday, but does not want to make it public until the Polynesian Bowl on, I believe, January 19th. All I'll say is good luck with that, not leaking out wherever he goes. But I do think that ultimately the Nebraska is the pick there as well. Amari Barno, the outside linebacker from Butler Community College, who came to Nebraska a couple of weekends ago, is going to Virginia Tech this weekend. I don't know what to make about that one. Because everything can never go perfectly right for Nebraska, I'm going to say that I don't like where Nebraska stands with that one, especially with Virginia Tech being close to where he's from out on the East Coast. And then Tony Wallace is another name to keep an eye on. I still feel pretty good about him, the Independence Community College defensive back. Took a visit to Nebraska a couple of weeks ago as well. Is going to West Virginia, I believe, this weekend with actually a couple of other Nebraska defensive back targets too, and Winston Wright, who you might remember almost visited Nebraska. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. But I do think Nebraska stands a pretty good chance with him as well.
What is your read on Lloyd Summerall? It'll be at ESPN2, 10 a.m. So I assume that's 9 Central.
Yep.
Decision. It's down between the Gators, the Hurricanes, and the Huskers.
I'm not feeling this one for the Huskers, just going to be honest. This one, I think, does not get out of Florida. I don't think Lloyd leaves Florida. The interesting thing here is he's on a visit to Miami now. He's on an OV there. I'm not sure why, as if you followed recruiting here lately, Miami has been losing guys left and right since Manny Diaz left the program, their defensive coordinator. Not sure why you would sign up to go to Miami versus Florida or Nebraska. I think Florida ends up being the pick there for him. But Nebraska did do the swarm visit with him as well. He was the other guy that got every staff member out to his home. I just don't think it'll be enough to get him out of Florida.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity recruiting analyst, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, I know you mentioned Jimmy Fritschke is in town. Who else is visiting this weekend, and or is anybody else hanging out in Lincoln? It's going to be 50 and beautiful, just like every December.
Right, and that's kind of the crappy thing for this is that Nebraska only has Jimmy coming in this weekend, as they kind of aren't going to get to capitalize on a good weather weekend. But that is actually not the worst thing in the world, because that means that Nebraska is not scrambling trying to fill their class. I mean, keep in mind that Nebraska has, 22, 23 guys committed in the class right now, so they're not having to fill a lot of slots. And even Fritschke is more of a want instead of a need, because they have multiple offensive linemen, as much as they do like him, and they think that his potential, especially Greg Austin, really likes his potential. But that's it for official visitors this weekend. Like I said, take that as a good sign that Nebraska sits in a good position with some of their top targets.
About 30 seconds here, Greg. Total number that we'll hear and see in December 19th. How many kids? How many kids do you think?
I'm going to say 25 kids sign on December 19th, leaving, two or three slots for February. And that'll be interesting to see how much heat that they can turn up on some of those key targets that they'll take a look at going into February. Because I feel like a guy like wide receiver Charles Njoku out of New Jersey, big 6'5 kid, will definitely be on Troy Walters' radar early and often for that slate of time.
Well, I think Walters made his trip to New Jersey a couple of days ago. So
he did.
Little follow-up visit, I think. Greg, you're awesome. Great work with the recon. We'll be reading you this weekend, and we'll be listening to you on signing day Wednesday. Can't wait for it. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thanks as always. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. There he is, Greg Smith. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Smith HV. We'll hit some Husker hoops. Tim Miles, Okie State, Sioux Falls.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Craig Smith. Don't forget to check out the podcast, HailVarsity.com, or get to iTunes. And, of course, different clips of the interview from Greg will be on ESPN, Lincoln Twitter handle, also on Hail Varsity's Twitter handle. The full interview will be posted for you as well. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity on a Friday. Bill Dolman's 25 minutes away. Jacob Padilla, he is up in Minneapolis. We will quiz him on the Juicy Lucy. Actually, they just had the press conference with Coach John Cook, so he's been working. He's probably writing. Derek Peterson's up there, too. Now, the thing on Twitter last night from Derek and Jacob was whether or not they were going to get rocked because they were courtside. And you know how much velocity and force when a spike comes down. Did you do volleyball ever?
I tried out in like seventh grade, didn't make it.
So they had junior high volleyball at Ferris Bueller Prep, where you
MacArthur
went.
MacArthur Middle School.
MacArthur, is that after
Douglas MacArthur.
That guy.
You got it.
Douglas MacArthur Middle School.
Yeah, I'm actually like, I'm decent.
It's like James, it's like James Woods High. And
there you go.
And Family Guy.
Yeah, I'm decent at volleyball. Like, I'm a solid athlete, but obviously the height isn't there, so that wasn't really ever going to work out for volleyball. But I got a mean serve.
I bet. If you would have made the volleyball team, Grandma could have wore the Danny's Granny
exactly.
tank top for volleyball, too.
Perfect.
Good for you having boys volleyball.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it was all 3 years. I want to say just seventh and eighth grade we had it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys not?
No, I don't think so. I mean, made the B team for Irving Middle School.
Is that like weird to have a boys volleyball team?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not saying
you had it at high school though, right?
We didn't have a boys volleyball
really?
Team.
Really?
No.
Wow.
The Fighting Knights of Southeast had a girls volleyball team, but not a boys.
Interesting.
So it is what it is. Let's get into Nebraska basketball. And Coach Miles asked about the equivalent to a basketball comeback, the magnitude of what Nebraska volleyball did last night.
I was trying to think of, honestly, an example like that you'd find in college basketball. I don't know that there has been one, actually, you know, if you think of it. Yeah, I just think of, you know, like those upsets, like when, you know, Villanova upsets Georgetown in the 84 or whatever it was, you know, not a comeback like that. It's just a historical moment.
That's what it was last night, a historical moment. It'll be pretty cool for so many Nebraska fans up in Sioux Falls on Sunday as Nebraska and Oklahoma State, two old Big 12 and Big 8 foes, square off. Sioux Falls is a really great town. A lot of fun. I really like the state of South Dakota, and Sioux Falls is really a cool town. So who's traveling? Who's been practicing? Who's out? Nebraska has been dealing with illness. Coach Miles didn't give you much.
I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, I don't have to do an injury report, do I? Technically, right?
They're not injury builders. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
How many people are you planning to travel with?
Well, not everybody will go on the bus. Let's put it that way. Amir will be out. I'll give you that.
Okay, so Amir's still messed up. Mono. Don't know that he's got it. Maybe he's
partying
been,
too much.
Not the way he's been playing. He's been really? Is that how you
well,
get
I don't
it?
Know. If you get some lip-to-lip contact,
that's what
sharing
I'm saying.
A drink,
that's
out.
That's the old, that's the take is
right?
It's the kissing disease. And Danny, how many times have you had mono?
So you're going to screw me here because I have not had mono, and I'm looking for some wood to knock on here. What about you?
Oh, I've been tested. Like, I get tested when I get sick. Mm-hmm. That's like the go-to. Well, let's test you for mono. And they stick those grill skewers down your nose.
Down your nose?
Oh, yeah. It's Jeez. Bad. Down from nose to throat. So I've never tested for mono, but I've been tested like six times for mono. And I can guarantee you it's not been from kissing.
So I don't know what to take from that.
Okay. No, it's called marriage, brother. So moving on.
An open marriage?
No.
You guys just kissing all around town? Or
no, we don't. That's what I mean by it. It's like, how am I being tested for mono if it's from maybe all the smooching?
Maybe it's the kid. He's just a player at school.
Dude, he's 12.
You never know, man. Start him young.
He's 12, and he needs all the Axe body spray he can get. He's a smelly little monkey. Let's talk Okie State here. A preview of what's going to be in Sioux Falls. And Okie State comes in, man. They have played a rough schedule. They're a game under 500, but they have some offensive firepower.
They played excellent competition. They beat high-quality opponent. I mean, you know, and they were right there with Minnesota at the end. Mike Boynton's done an outstanding job with those guys, and he's scheduled ambitiously. There's no doubt about it. I've known of Mike for a long time, and, you know, and his reputation precedes stuff. He's an excellent coach, knows how to recruit. He really connects well, and, you know, he runs a similar system. You know, he worked with Brad Underwood and when they were at Oklahoma State together, and Stephen F. Austin, so he runs the Johnny Orr high post. We call it the spread. Pressure man, mixes in some zone. And so it'll be a good matchup, and that team of his shoots the cover off the ball. They shoot the three so well. They make a lot of them, and a lot of different guys make them. They'll have four guys on the floor at all times making threes.
Well, Nebraska defends the three well. They got a rebound. I don't know who's going to be sick. Who is? Is it bench guys that have mono? Is it some of your top tier dudes that aren't feeling well? I mean, they played incredible against Creighton. I worry about illness and travel. Not that Nebraska will lose this. I don't think they'll be as sharp because they've had a week off. Now, everybody's had a week off, or they're supposed to have, with finals.
Do you know if Oklahoma State's returning a lot of players from last year?
It's they may have some guys back, but it's a new coach.
Okay. Because they were solid. Like, they played tough with everybody last year.
Tournament, right?
Yeah,
right?
Everyone was pissed because Oklahoma made it over them.
Mm-hmm. And then the coach said, I'm out.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, it was his first year there, I think. I haven't researched Oklahoma State clearly. I'm going Stephen A. here, so I'll just shut up about it. When it comes to Sioux Falls in Nebraska, how did that happen? How did this game get placed where it's at?
Just to answer, you know, how did this game come about? So I've known Kelby Kramerhoff and the fellas at Sanford Health for a long time, and they've done a lot of really good things for, especially the Summit League schools, for Coaches versus Cancer, some different things I'm involved with. I know we have a strong alumni base up there, big time Husker football fans. We couldn't get a home and away like we'd had Kansas, so we were able. You know, if we give up a home date, we're still able to go up there and have a high quality opponent in a cool environment. You know, I think we're the 17th Division I game to be up there. And so this is something they've done. And other Big Ten, I think Iowa's done it, Wisconsin's done it, Minnesota's doing it for the third time. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think it'll be good for our guys. For a neutral base, hopefully there's more Husker fans than Cowboy fans up there.
Should be good. We'll spend a few more minutes on Okie State and Nebraska. Thoughts on the Nebraska volleyball comeback for the ages. Husker magic, baby. Bill Dolman is on the way. Jacob Padilla on site in Minneapolis. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this first hour. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Bill Dolman coming up, the Pride of Fairbury in NBC Sports. Jacob Padilla will take us through last night as he was courtside in Minneapolis for Nebraska's amazing win over the Illini. You can email us, chris@halevarsity.com, and follow us on Twitter @DannyBurke5, @Schmidt_radio. And is Nebraska volleyball's win classified as one of the greatest sports comebacks ever? And yes is my answer. Because of the stage, because of just how intense it was. Not that football, look, apples and oranges with different sports, but, I mean, you live and die point by point in volleyball. And there are plays, there are shots, there are rebounds, there are touchdowns, there are catches, there are fumbles. I get it. There's always action within a sporting event that determine and come out win or lose for you. Baseball, right? I mean, you got to make the 3-2 pitch. You've had two outs a lot of times to get out of trouble, and there's been a lot of two-out rallies, notably against Cleveland and Chicago, historically speaking.
Yeah, I was going to say if we were classifying series as big comebacks too, because I was going to say Red Sox 3-0 over the Yankees,
that's,
Cubs
that's
3-1
there.
Indians.
This series is one thing,
mm-hmm.
game, right?
Right.
But I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers, what
Speaking
the hell?
Of comebacks.
Yeah, right? Kansas City didn't get stops when they needed to. They are missing the run game.
They didn't find, though, with the dude who came in, Williams or whatever, in because...
No, he was good, but they didn't use him enough. They didn't run the ball enough.
I got screwed in fantasy because of him. And guess who also I had on my team? Tyreek didn't do anything, and Keenan Allen injured first quarter.
No, I know.
Unbelievable.
I know.
Semifinals.
No, I know that the running back did well,
mm-hmm.
but they needed to do more.
Right, and then they gave it to him. They were playing conservative right before Rivers got the last possession
Not
to win
to
the
lose,
game.
Right. Well, you go up, even at that point, 28-21, you're not supposed to score 15 in 3 minutes, are
yeah.
you? 5 minutes, is that fair?
Yeah, I think they started with the ball like 7-minute mark. They scored, and then they got it back. Yeah, whatever.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
And the thing is Philip Rivers got rocked helmet to helmet,
and
spent 15 seconds bitching about it, and they still won.
Well, then they had the makeup call for it in the end zone with the
pass.
Yeah,
I thought Mike Williams, I don't think that was a touchdown.
No, it was 100%. Oh, you're saying the touchdown. No, before that, there's a pass interference, which put it on the one, and
right.
that was the makeup call for the helmet to helmet that was missed.
See, the officials had a bad night last night because we're talking about them,
mm-hmm.
and they were bad. I thought the interference calls were garbage. I mean, you had some pulling and grabbing, but it wasn't sustained.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't tug-of-war type pulling and grabbing and holding going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to have some hand-to-hand combat. You got to let go. And if Aikman loses his mind about it, you know he's not down with it because usually he's pro-offense
mm-hmm.
all the time.
But so you think he didn't have possession of that touchdown catch?
It reminded me of Kenny Bell's against Iowa in overtime. But Kenny had a whole one Mississippi
yeah.
before he got hit from behind. This... God, the NFL's such a pain in the neck to talk about what's a catch,
the
right?
The thing is because it was too hard to overturn because it was called a touchdown on the field. If it was the other way, I don't think it would have been a touchdown.
I mean, I thought it squirted out.
Yeah, I think so.
Not that they wouldn't have gotten in anyway, but the two-point play was money. Love the call. You got to go on the road and get out of Dodge with a win. At that point, you're exhausted and you don't want... overtime at all. Good call. It worked out.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. An NFL Friday forecast coming up here at 540. Jacob Padilla from Minneapolis from HailVarsity.com and Magazine. His thoughts on the Nebraska, well, Husker Magic is what we're deeming it. Last night we say hi to the Pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports' Bill Dolman is back east with Olympic coverage. Billy D., how are you, sir?
Well, it's been a big day with the return of Martin Fourcade, the seven-time World Cup Biathlon champion. Did not get off to a good start last week. We thought maybe he might call it a career, but he comes roaring back with a podium finish today in Holzwilzen, Austria. So it's pretty exciting things going on as we renew our biathlon and cross-country coverage.
That'll be outstanding, and that'll be on the... No, I mean that, my man. NBC Sports, Bill Dolman. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better than last night for Nebraska volleyball. Well, it can get better Saturday night, but it's better than the alternative. You lived through Sooner Magic. I remember Sooner Magic. different sport, but a dash of Husker magic last night with Coach Cook and his girls, his women, doing incredible things to outlast Illinois. Bill, kind of set up your history and backstory with Nebraska volleyball, because you were there with the Pettit years. You've covered and followed and called volleyball with Nebraska and on a national level, so you know the sport better than most. And I know you're working and covering Olympic coverage, but I know you're locked into to dear old Nebraska U as well. What was your takeaway last night?
Well, first of all, without Nebraska volleyball, I'm probably not where I am right now. Volleyball was the niche sport that gave me a foothold in the business at the time when Nebraska volleyball was just beginning to more than create a wave, but to have a wave to ride. About 1988, my career began in 1989, and Nebraska ETV at that time was one of the very few production groups that was covering volleyball or any other Olympic sports for that matter. And you had a couple of networks out on the West Coast in California, and maybe one or two announcers, Chris Marlowe, and who does the Denver Nuggets now and still does Olympic volleyball for NBC, and Paul Sunderland was the color analyst, and he was doing the play-by-play last night. Mm-hmm. They were really the main guys doing volleyball back then, and then there was Nebraska ETV. And so when more volleyball was, getting put on the air to, support women's athletics, it was like, does anybody know how to do the sport? Well, there's the group in Lincoln, of all places, that does volleyball. And so Nebraska volleyball was incredibly important to my career. And even back in 1989, was a great product then, and it's only gotten better since then. Without Nebraska volleyball and all that Nebraska ETV did for not just that, but all the other Olympic sports, I'm not where I am today, and I'm forever grateful for that. But it was an unbelievable wave to ride. Let me just and add another story to that. I really think that the most significant night for Nebraska volleyball and its marriage with television was in 1988. They played Texas at the Coliseum on back-to-back nights, and it was a Friday night, as I recall, that they're playing the Longhorns. The Coliseum's packed. They're just starting to get packed. They've been like 1,000 people, which was a lot, but now it was like 2,000 or 3,000 or something like that, maybe 4. And that match was on TV statewide on a Friday night, and it was not rally scoring. It was side-up volleyball. And that match, as I recall, went like almost 4 hours, and just epic drama. And I happened to be there that night, but the rest of the state saw that, and they saw the drama, the beauty of the sport, the athleticism, and they saw their kids on the floor that night. And these were Nebraska young women, and they won. And I really think that was a significant night in Nebraska volleyball history, because people were really introduced to what was going on at the Coliseum. The next night they play Texas again. Now, the person who did play-by-play at that time for Nebraska TV, he left. 1989, I got my opportunity, and we're doing Nebraska-Stanford, we're Nebraska-Illinois, Nebraska-Minnesota, Nebraska-Hawaii, Texas, all of these big schools and big matches. But I really think it was that night in 1988 when the whole state was watching, and they fell in love with Nebraska volleyball. And John Cook has even mentioned the importance of Nebraska ETV to where they are today, and I think it's that's been a very successful marriage for many, many decades now.
What did you think of the comeback? We were talking about greatest comebacks in sports history, and I think you can classify last night because of the opponent, because of the stage, and you can pick pro sports, college sports. I mean, last night belongs in the conversation because of how good Illinois is, all right, and just how final, game points are, right? I mean, you're down 0-2.
Well, there's no question that was a spectacular win, and but I'm watching it last night. I wasn't really surprised.
You and Fecky are about the only two, and the rest of the team. But...
Well, but if you watch Nebraska volleyball, and people in Nebraska have, and it's one of the places that understands the sport. But did it look bad for a time? Absolutely. Did it look dire? No question about it. But when they started coming back and settled down a little bit and kind of stemmed the momentum of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I think Terry Pettit posted on his website today that the elements of tradition and experience started to pay off for Nebraska. Illinois had all the enthusiasm and they weathered the early storm and they played well, but there just seemed to be, it would not surprise me if that group with that leadership on the floor and on the bench didn't come back and at least, make a fight of it. Rarely do you see Nebraska go down 0-2 and that's, then they just kind of pack it in. I mean, it's happened, it's happened to every team. But on a stage like that, to think that Nebraska is going to go down without a fight, no chance. Now, there was that national championship what match about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when John called a timeout like 2 points into the match, and it's like, this thing is over. But with that, with Fecky and, Lexi Sun came around, and it wasn't too surprising that they at least they fought back. But the fact that they came back to win, maybe that's a little bit surprising that they were able to pull off three consecutive sets. But it was a special night. I'm not going to say it's the most impressive win I've ever seen or comeback victory. That would go back to the 1996 NCAA tournament. Nebraska fell behind 11-4 in a battle with Penn State. This was in game five. And Nebraska's down like 11-2 or 11-4.
Wow.
On rally point scoring and came back and won. That one particular game, 20-18, to go to the NCAA semifinal round. So that for one game was perhaps the most spectacular comeback, but for three sets, okay, I'll put that in that same category too.
Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports, the Pride of Fairbury, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, Nebraska finally got to whack Creighton, and they head to Sioux Falls for Sunday night, a date with Oklahoma State in the Empire, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. What did you think of the Creighton game?
Well, that's, I'm thinking this is what should have been happening for the last 10 years. Nebraska had far and away better talent on the court. It wasn't even close compared to Creighton. And for many years, I think sometimes you look at that match and think, well, they've got, a great team. They've got some very good players. Nebraska's got a few good players that are learning to play as a team, but that looked like a non-conference game against a directional institution, to be honest with you, just in terms of talent. Now, it's only 1 year. I have no idea what Tim's going to have in the cabinet next year, but Palmer's an NBA player. Copeland played well. You had five guys in double figures, and I was listening real intent to your show a couple of times when I've been on and when I've been speaking. I've said that Thomas Allen is incredibly important to this team. And to go 18, 5, and 4, mm-hmm. 4 rebounds and 5 assists in 35 minutes, he has to be that way because Nebraska does not have depth. They had four guys play over 30 minutes in that Creighton game. They don't have – they might have a sixth man, but not a seventh.
Sure.
So they've got to stay healthy. They've got to stay out of foul trouble like the Texas Tech game. But when they do and when they're on, that team is going to win a lot of games this year and go deep into the NCAA tournament if they're allowed to do so. But that was one of the most impressive performances I've seen from Nebraska basketball in a long time. Let's just put it that way. That was a spectacular game.
I think you're right. And the question I have is, can Thomas Allen, hey, man, just do that every night? Easier said than done. He's awesome, though. I mean, he is a special talent, and he's just a sophomore. That said,
but he has to be because
you
don't
want consistency.
Depth. Yeah, they just don't have the depth. So he's the guy. Glenn Watson as a senior has to be a good leader. He was 4-for-11. I think I said a couple weeks ago, he can't go 2-for-14. Mm-hmm. He's got to be a guy who takes 10 shots a game, give or take one or two. He was efficient from behind the arc. Nebraska was efficient from behind the arc. They're not going to shoot 50-plus three-pointers. That was, a special night. But, had they shot, I wrote it down there, 14 of 27 from three. I mean, if they had gone 10 of 27 from three, they're still going to win that game because I think that's what Creighton was at. Mm. But That's one game, too. The other thing that really impressed me is they just never let up. There are times when Nebraska gets up, they're up by 13, and things, you know, hey, let's make this a game again. Let's let them come back. That was a throat crusher. I thought they got on it and stayed on it and didn't let them back up. There was some cold-bloodedness to that win, and that was good to see.
A lot of pent-up anger and frustration for sure. Bill, got a couple minutes here. What do you think is unique about Scott Frost, the recruiter? And what do you believe can be a difference maker for Nebraska with Frost moving forward? And I know your take on recruiting, it seems a little more substantive with this staff and their recruiting.
I think Scott is incredibly relatable to the athlete of today. And that is as significant as anything. You know, there, no gimmick of any throwback or alternate uniform is going to be the final decision maker for a kid. You know, the bells and whistles and toys, you know, some guys are going to be enamored by that. But if you want a kid that has some substance to him, I think, you know, when they meet Scott Frost, that they know that he relates to them. I think parents probably have a pretty good idea of that now. Scott was everywhere all last year, and in the offseason, there was Nebraska football presence on ESPN. I just think people, parents and players, got to know him because he was so heavily in the media last year, and they kind of got an idea of who that guy is. And they like the swagger. They like the youthfulness in him. They like the staff. I think to today's player, he relates in a way that few coaches can. And add to that, though, you still have the tradition, you still have the passion, and you still have the fan base that, you know, he can back up everything that he says and what he sells about Nebraska. He's not lying, you know? And so he's got the product to sell, and he's got the personality that that gets him in the door. He's got a staff that's much the same way as him. And, you know, it was always, you know, talked about with Tom and Turner and Ron and the other guys, you know, Milt and Dan, that they relate to the people that they're talking to. And they trust, parents trust their son to be with a guy like, you know, the old staff. And I think that's what they get out of the staff now.
I didn't ask you about this because it happened. And I don't know if it came up, but you're close with, we got about 2 minutes here. But Turner Gill stepping down.
Yeah, that, you know, certainly when you saw the press conference and you read the story, you completely understand why. And if you know Turner, I'm fortunate too. I'm not close, but, you know, friendly with him. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's any surprise to anybody. Ron Brown, I know, was interviewed in one of the local papers. You know, given the situation at home and the kind of man that Turner Gill is and Nebraska fans know him to be, it's not surprising, you know, why he stepped away from Liberty. We certainly hope Gale, you know, gets better and gets well quickly. And maybe he returns to the game in some way, shape, or another. Maybe it is back home at Nebraska. Maybe it's, you know, it's back at Liberty. Who knows? But I'm sorry to see him step away from the game. But even in that moment of him, you know, talking about his players and why, you understand that the game of football is better when Turner Gill is the game of football is better because of Turner Gill and guys like him, and there aren't very many like him.
Bill Dolman with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So I've got 1 minute. You go from Turner Gill to Hugh Freeze.
Well, if the Christian faith, you know, if you
redemption and forgiveness,
you believe in forgiveness and second chances, and Liberty is taking a big, bold risk with his reputation. His resume's good, but if they are to, you know, wave the flag of a faith that I share, I understand it. Mm-hmm. And you certainly hope that he will carry that flag in a way that makes them proud and not the way he left Mississippi.
Sure.
So I understand the hire, but I think everybody has – he's given everybody reason to be skeptical, mm-hmm. And Liberty has given people reason to be hopeful.
Bill, have a great weekend, bud. Thanks for the time today.
Cross country and biathlon on the networks of NBC all weekend long.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Well, he's in Minneapolis. He's been covering the Final Four, now covering the National Championship game with HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey's also there. Hail Varsity out in force for Nebraska and a date with Stanford. We say hi to Jacob Padilla at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter. Jacob, do you believe what you saw last night, man?
Well, I've been covering this program. This is my fourth year now. So, yes, I do believe it because I've seen it time and time again.
It looked bleak, and I don't know volleyball like you know volleyball. I don't know volleyball much at all. I just know that it's awesome to watch. And what made you confident? It's not that Nebraska hasn't come back before, but the opponent. Illinois is an extremely talented squad that knows Nebraska inner workings because of their coach. And was there a turning point, a tipping point for you last night in the match?
Yeah, I guess the turning point was Nebraska being able to hold off that late rally by Illinois in a third set and finish that off. Because from then on, it was pretty much all Nebraska. Because, I mean, the thing about the reason you kind of had confidence is that something that Creighton's coach, Kirsten Berthaubu, says all the time, volleyball is a game where no matter how well you played in the previous game, you're starting over from 0-0. And Nebraska, I mean, as well as Illinois is playing, Nebraska was playing far from its best volleyball. And passing was an issue. And if they could simply kind of settle down, get that figured out, then they'd have a chance. Because when you've got leaders like Michaela Fecky and Kenzie Maloney that have been there and done that so many times, and you've got talented players like Lexi Sun and Nicklin Haynes, Nebraska is never out of a match.
They aren't, and they found a way to come back. You and Derek covered the press conference. What are some takeaways? What was Coach Cook saying less than 24 hours later? He had a chance to sleep on it.
Yeah, there's just kind of a lot of talk about how, I mean, you look at it, it's two great programs that always seem to find themselves in the mix here, and with Stanford and Nebraska, two of the best sports programs in general. I mean, you look at across sports, Nebraska and Stanford are two of the most successful athletics programs in college sports. And Cook wasn't really giving a whole lot away, but just kind of said that he's not quite sure what it is about it. They just work hard. They come ready to play every time they step in the gym and work to get better. And so I think Nebraska is feeling good about where they are, but they're definitely going to have to play their best volleyball. Stanford's tough. They got a lot of height, a lot of talent. Catherine Plummer was just named the National Player of the Year, 6'6" outside hitter. So it's definitely going to be a heck of a match tomorrow.
What do you think that it factor is about this team? You mentioned the leadership and you mentioned the seniors, but the freshmen have been stepping up. Tell me a little bit about what you've gleaned from this chemistry and why they're so good in pressure and in drama-packed situations.
Yeah, and it does start with those seniors, and John Cook has found any chance he's gotten to mention those two, he has. Because coming into the year, he wasn't quite sure what he was going to get out of them in terms of leadership. Obviously, they've had Kelly Hunter as a captain the last 3 years, and Fecky and Loney were good players, but they weren't necessarily leaders. They weren't the most vocal. But based on everything I've heard from him, it seems like he was just absolutely blown away with those two and what they've managed to do with this team. And I think it's just a great mix of personalities as well. Kenzie Maloney, who, again, has been here the last 4 years, had all the success. She said this is her favorite team that she's been on because of just how close all the girls are and kind of the connections they've had and the way they all get along. So I think it starts with those leadership and those two leaders, those senior co-captains, and then it kind of just follows along with the relationships on the team and their desire to get better every time they step on the practice court.
Jacob Padilla is in Minneapolis with Derek Peterson. Hail Varsity on site for Nebraska volleyball coverage. They were all over it, social and in digital, with HailVarsity.com. They'll be there for the national championship match tomorrow night. So were you fearful, or did Derek play up the fact that you guys were in harm's way from getting spiked?
No, I mean, again, covering volleyball at Creighton, you sit courtside there too, and I managed to cover that program for 3 years without ever taking a direct shot. So I wasn't too worried, although early on, during warm-ups, one volleyball did end up flying over our heads to the second row of tables behind us. So I think that Derek's eyes got really big at that point, and he was even more convinced that he was going to get hit. But no, we made it through the night with no injuries.
Jacob, you're just more ninja quick than Derek. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. I told him if anything came this way, I'd catch it for him and kind of protect him. So we look out for each other over here at Hail Varsity.
There you go. Or you're going to duck and let him take it. I like it. Yeah, good call.
Yeah, maybe.
So give me a couple of keys for tomorrow night against Stanford. They're huge. They're athletic. But Nebraska's beaten. I was talking to Brandon this morning on the win, and he said Penn State's something that's comparable to Stanford. What is different about Stanford? What makes them so awesome? Why are they number one with a bullet?
Yeah, part of it, like I mentioned, Plummer is just an absolute force. Just so tough to defend. Again, at 6'6". Just such a dynamic hitter. And then they've got a 6'6 middle blocker in Adriana Fitzmaurice and a 6'2 middle blocker in Tammy Alade, who I believe led the country in blocking. She's a freak athlete. So they've got size and athleticism all along that front line. They've got experience. You look, their setter, Jenna Gray, 2 years ago was kind of in the same spot that Nicklin Hames finds herself in now, as a true freshman setter leading a team to a national championship. So she's experienced. She's been there and done that. So they're pretty strong along the line there. And you saw that match last night against BYU. The Cougars had an awesome year. They're a really talented team, but they just had no idea how to deal with that Stanford block. They ended up with 14 blocks, I believe, for 17 blocks as a team, and a lot of it was in on 14 of them. And that's something that I think is going to be the key. And Kenzie Maloney was asked about that block a little bit at the press conference today and said Nebraska is going to try to turn that around and use that to their advantage. They're going to be looking to tool the block as much as they possibly can. And that takes precision, that takes good decision-making from your hitters in split second that you're up there in the air and figuring out where to swing. So that's something we saw last night. Nebraska wasn't as sharp necessarily as it has been at times with their swings. There are a lot of swings they miss wide. They're hitting directly into the block. So they're going to have to bring their A game just in terms of a decision-making standpoint about what shot to hit and when and where to target.
Jacob, got about 4 minutes here. I want to shift gears. You and Derek will be headed to Sioux Falls after Saturday for Nebraska-Oklahoma State. And what's your gut tell you about Nebraska's health right now? I know Amir is not doing well. Coach Miles intimated today that two other guys aren't great, and that's where he left it. Should Nebraska basketball fans be concerned about a depleted lineup on Sunday?
Yeah, he was pretty, didn't really want to give a whole lot of answers about that outside of kind of the vague reference that you said. So that leads you to believe that we're not talking about one of the walk-ons here as one of the players that could potentially be sick and be struggling a little bit now. It's probably somebody that is part of the rotation. So for a team that's as shallow as Nebraska has been this season, who relies so heavily on their starters, if one of those guys isn't available or is under the weather, it's going to be tough. I think that Nebraska's got enough, unless they're missing two or three of those starters. I think they've got enough to be able to still win this game, but you definitely feel a lot less confident just about where the program is in general. Hearing that from Miles, as you did maybe a few days ago after the win over Creighton.
No, and that's just it, is what What's Nebraska got to do? I know Okie State shoots well from three, and they've got some rim protectors. What's Nebraska need to do to counter? I mean, just kind of repeat what they did against Creighton from a ball movement standpoint and to get to the rim standpoint? I mean, how do you beat the Cowboys?
Yeah, that's interesting. You look at what they do, that shooting the three by far is the best part of their team right now, shooting over 41% as a team. They've got a bunch of guys that can really shoot it. And you look at that Creighton game, and Creighton did shoot 40% from three. Now, granted, six out of seven was from Mitch Balick himself, and they did a pretty good job on everybody else on the team. But, I mean, overall, the team did shoot 40%. So Oklahoma State is a team like Creighton that's going to move the ball, going to get a lot of different guys' shots. So Nebraska's, I don't think you can necessarily bank on the Huskers hitting 14 threes again. So they've got to make sure that they're limiting those opportunities. You got to limit Oklahoma State's attempts as much as possible. And then on the other end, you're going to have to take advantage of outscore them inside the paint, because that's one area that Oklahoma State has not been great at this year. They do not score well from two-point range.
All right. Make them shoot within the arc, and Nebraska should be all right. Give me a prediction on Sunday night. I know you and Derek will be there. Jacob Padilla, Derek Peterson, Hail Varsity in Minneapolis, and also going to be in Sioux Falls. About 30 seconds here. What shakes out Sunday, and what shakes out tomorrow night? Give me a volleyball prediction.
Well, for basketball, I've been to that arena. I've actually coached on that floor before. It's a really cool facility. I think Nebraska is going to have the home court advantage there. Only 3,200 people fit in that place.
Oh, wow.
And I think most of them will be Husker fans. So I think Nebraska is going to come out with a win, maybe 10-15-point win, something like that, assuming James Palmer Jr. or Isaac Copeland or somebody like that isn't sitting out or something like that. For volleyball, man, it's hard to pick against Stanford based on what they did yesterday. I honestly didn't think Nebraska would make it at this point, coming up through Minnesota's regional, but they just keep surprising again and again. And I really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I guess I'll ride with the Huskers in five sets, because it's hard to pick against this team right now.
Keep wearing that Packers jacket and go in Viking land. All right.
I will do.
All right. Thanks so much. Good stuff. Read Jacob Padilla at Hail Varsity. Read Derek Peterson on site for Husker Volleyball and Big Red Basketball.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
Back to you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. We'll give you Nebraska basketball prediction and some weekend thoughts from Danny Burke and the NFL. Sorry, Chiefs fans, about last night. That had to suck. You've got a great quarterback. Your offense is incredible. And you got a wonderful pass rush. Just not when it matters, apparently. Man. Danny, you want to do some music with this, or how do you want to? It's your show, baby.
Yeah, I think we should. It's only tradition, so.
It is. And we had Klausburn yesterday with his holiday handouts. He did text me earlier.
Did he?
Asking me if we were going to spend an hour on Wayne Gretzky's niece committing to the Nebraska soccer team.
We should have.
Probably. NFL, there are some awesome games. Dallas and Indy. Yeah, the Chargers, Chiefs kick things off. I think Cleveland and Denver is going to be dirty. And I mean that in a good way. I think it'll be fun. Jets, Texans, don't care. Packers, Bears. I think Aaron Rodgers is due to make you cry.
Ooh, come on, man. We got to clinch our first playoff berth since 2010.
Patriots, Steelers, Eagles, Rams, Saints, Panthers. Where are we going first?
All right. I think I'm actually interested in the Saturday night game between the Browns and the Broncos as well. I actually am, because, you know, the Broncos play amazing at home. The Browns can come out of nowhere this season if Baker's feeling
they're
dangerous.
Good.
Yeah. So the spread I see now, it opened up at 3, but now it's at 2.5 in favor of the Broncos. What are you thinking? Keep this in mind. Browns 1-5 away. Broncos only 3-3 at home, but they play well at home.
I think Denver's pass rush will be the difference. Where's Denver at stopping the run? Because if Cleveland can get going with Chubb running the football, and Cleveland's defense isn't awful. I mean, they've got some playmakers.
Yeah, they're solid.
I just like Denver and Von Miller and Wolfie too much. And Von's not even, I mean, he's still money, but the other outside rushers that Denver's drafted have been really good this year. I'm going to give me Denver just because it is at home. And I think they've got athletes as big of a pain in the neck as Baker is to try and chase down. They've got the guys to do it. Give me Denver 21-17.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you here. Like I said, the Broncos have been playing well at home, and I think for the rookie quarterback in Baker Mayfield to go to the Mile High City and get a win will be tough.
Cleveland's due a win against Denver.
Yeah.
Historically speaking.
That's true, but I just think, I mean, their rush defense hasn't been great. I just recall the game against the Jets where they just let them run for two bills over them. But since then, they've improved pretty well. I think Case Keenum will do just enough, and Philip Lindsay, great rookie running back, he's really doing well. Killing it. Best pickup in fantasy.
Colorado.
So, yeah, I'm going to take the Broncos as well. Give me them 24-20.
Okay. Green Bay, Chicago, you worried? You nervous?
I'm not worried we're going to win. I'm going to worry if we're going to cover. So I wrote about this in Burke's Best Blogs. I got all the stats on this before. Historically, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, of course, dominate the Bears, especially at Soldier Field. He made a comment earlier that he wasn't too worried about winning out because he knows how well they play there. Akeem Hicks, he noted that they have this game circled on their calendar, not only for that, but because of the first game of the season when the Bears got embarrassed for blowing that lead. I don't want to talk about it. Regardless, I think Trubisky comes back, does his thing. Soldier Field will be rocking, even though it's a day game. So I'm going to take the Bears to win this. For prediction, let me get 28-20.
I'm going to go Green Bay. They win.
Wow.
Outright, 31-28.
That hurts.
I'm just trolling you.
All right. I like this game a lot, too. Cowboys and Colts in Indy. 3-point spread for the Colts. I like the Colts in this game. Andrew Luck is a stud. Had his one bad game against the Jags. Cowboys' defense is great, but can they travel on the road and do well? I don't know. The Colts lit up the Texans' defense in Houston, so I like the Colts to cover and win here.
I think Dallas is going to travel well. I think Andrew Luck's playing great ball. That team's coming along. I think Indy will get in to the postseason, and I think they win 35-27.
Yeah, I'll go. Let's see.
Maybe too many points, but I don't know. I think Dallas is due to take a giant crap.
I'll go 30-24. Give me Indy.
Okay, so I'm not that off.
Yeah, no.
I mean,
at home, Andrew Luck. I like a lot of points. Another game. Who do you like here? Should we do Patriots Steelers? All right, New England, 2.5-point favorite heading to Heinz Field, 325 game on Sunday.
New England just wins in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
They just
in heartbreaking fashion.
They do. And New England's coming off heartbreak themselves. Yeah. I think they'll be angry. Pittsburgh just lost.
Back to back.
Yeah, so I don't like Ben Roethlisberger having to take the needle for the ribs.
That's just par for the course for him, I think.
You know, he's a tough guy. Pittsburgh's just been dysfunctional right now. Give me New England. Give me New England to win 38-35.
Okay. See, this game puts my brain in a pretzel because the Steelers have all the talent in the world despite the injuries, despite not having Le'Veon Bell. And at home, they should win this game on paper, you would think. The Patriots have been pretty inconsistent this year, 3-4 on the road. But the Steelers have blown some games at home. They lost to the Raiders. Just so much crap that makes you pissed off if you're betting on them. Me being one of those guys against the Chargers. Regardless, I think historically you got to go with the Patriots here just because the Steelers have been struggling. Although I still think the Steelers will make the playoffs. I don't know if they'll win this game. So as of now, without looking at all the stats and crap, I'm going to take the Patriots as well. Give me, I'll go 38-35 Patriots over Steelers.
Okay. So we're doing the same thing.
I thought you said 35-32.
No, I said 38-35.
Oh, I'll do 35-32.
You're fine. You're good. So look at Pittsburgh's schedule here. They blew the lead to the Chargers. They went out to Oaktown and lost. Now they have the Steelers, and then they got to go to New Orleans.
The Patriots, and then the...
They could be in danger here.
I don't know if the Ravens will be able to do it. Also, I don't want to see the Ravens in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't mind watching them. Sam Cook's a pride of Seward, punter.
All right. I think we skip Eagles-Rams because we got Nick Foles in there, so it's like a
high
spread.
Let's go to Nebraska
spread.
Basketball.
Okay.
We'll set that line at 9.5, Nebraska favored.
See, I would go high like that, but with all the speculation, I'd maybe lower it
a little bit. I am going lower. If Jacob says 10 to 15, I'm going to go 9. I think Nebraska wins by 7. You got to sweat this one out. I don't think Nebraska's healthy. Nebraska will have some rust, plus you're coming off a high and then finals. Nebraska 79, Oklahoma State 70?
That's kind of high scoring, I think.
I think they'll hit some threes.
Okay. So do I get to set my own line or am I going off your line?
You do what you want.
See, I want to say 7.5 to 8.5, I would say. So I'll go with 8.5.
All right.
I think Nebraska will win. It's tough to say without
Nebraska
these injuries.
Barely covers. They win and they barely cover, but you got to sweat this one out.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. I think it's going to be a little bit more low scoring. Give me Nebraska 74 to 65.
Okay. That's probably within reason. That's your Friday forecast here on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll wind down a Friday edition. Don't forget weekend edition tomorrow with Mark Kranak, myself at 7 a.m. We'll say goodbye next with Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at hailvarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time as high school basketball coming up tonight. Motsi. Here in Lincoln on ESPN Lincoln, going to have Lincoln Southeast Southwest. I will be over on KFOR with Pius and Lincoln North Star. So we'll have that for you about 7:30. Tomorrow morning, Mark Kranak, myself, and a weekend edition of Hail Varsity. So we'll recap the week, hit some recruiting, and no doubt getting closer to the holidays. So that is pretty cool. Lots of bowl coverage coming up for you this holiday season. Things need to get kind of ramped up. Danny, have you been able to shift to the NBA much? Have you gotten there? We still have some good NFL, don't get me wrong. But it's been a quick week, I think. But as far as Nebraska news, yeah, recruiting's been good stuff. But it's weird not having any basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I keep track of it on the off days of football because I got nothing else to put friendly wagers on. So,
what's your give me your daily habit here? You wake up.
I wake up.
Cold sweat. You check and see.
I check Twitter. I check some Twitter accounts. See some lines. See what people are thinking.
You take her to breakfast.
Yeah, you could say that from the hot tub party the night before from Deb's Hot Tubs, of course.
I was walking you into that.
And then I do a little bit of research, and I come in here, and then give you my thoughts on it all.
We just tap the brain. I like it. Yeah. So you only one going to Sioux Falls?
Hooksy's the only guy I know.
Okay,
that's it.
Good
he's telling
him.
Me who's going today, and he wanted to parlay the volleyball trip to Minnesota and then South Dakota. But
see, I think it's pretty awesome. I mean, you got all the cameras and social media ability from Hail Varsity and her dad up there for volleyball, for Facebook and Twitter, of course. And then you've got Jacob and Derek that are just incredible with their coverage and analysis on site for tomorrow night. And then they're just making the old loop around because, what is it, 3.5 hours from Minneapolis to Sioux Falls?
I don't know. I've never been to South Dakota.
Really?
Mm-mm. No reason. I got invited to a wedding out there, but I could not attend, unfortunately.
Yeah, I went to a wedding up there one time.
You think... What's that reaction for?
It was just a freaking bad, bad night.
Well, good thing I didn't go. I was going to say, I had two people, well, actually three, but I got invited to two of the weddings my age that I knew in college got married like immediately after school. Isn't that wild?
You freak show of millennials, and I love y'all. I do mean it. But you guys are, you're supposed to wait a while before you get hitched.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't that weird? I mean,
yeah.
I'm fine. I'll go to the wedding and party, but I just like, you know, wait a little bit. Make some money.
No, make some money. Have your, I've been eating avocado and toast.
Oh, no. So you actually started it?
It's good.
You are a millennial in the flesh.
Jeez.
I have not had avocado toast.
I'll make some for you. Avocados are great for you.
Take your word for it. Yeah, I had guacamole today, but I don't know if I want on my toast.
No, it's good. You do a little salt and pepper. It's great, and it fills you up.
All right, that does sound pretty good.
Drink more vodka. All right, basketball tonight. Weekend edition tomorrow. Check out Danny's blog on ESPN Lincoln. Have a good Friday.